Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Christ rebukes because he loves. And in all these cases, there are people in these situations, in these kind of churches, in this kind of Christianity, who God has ordained that they should come out. There are many who will have the candlestick removed from their place, and it's not going to be so. They're going to have even that which they seem to have taken away from them. There is going to be a great apostasy. And it has to come from people who say they're believers.
Some people say that the apostasy has already occurred. But I say, look at these churches. They're called churches. Yet, could they be any more in apostasy, if that's how you're going to judge it? Yet it says they shall have their candlesticks removed out of their place. When your candlestick is removed out of its place, that's the point at which I consider the apostasy to be complete. From the way Christ calls on them to repent, where he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, he is still extending to them the patience and long-suffering of God. God is patient, but he does not wait forever. Patience is not the ability to just put up with things that are intolerable for eternity. God is not patient like that. God is patient to wait, but he does not expect, nor does he expect us, to wait forever to see his designs come to full fruition. You look at what it says to some of these churches like Pergamos, Sardis, but it makes you think of Sodom and Gomorrah when he said, if I find 10 righteous men, I will spare the city. There are a few names even in Sardis. Thou hast a few there. And so while the church world is very corrupt, I believe there is a deeper corruption coming, which cannot be compared with the corruption as we've known it for the past millennia. He rebukes, and so he asks us to be zealous,
to have a little fire in us, to be willing to go out there and repent, to turn, to change our ways.
We ought to be zealous enough for the things of God that we are at least willing to try, that we are at least willing to turn from the things of the world, that we are at least willing to try to do that which is beyond our natural abilities.
He stands at the door and knocks. Knock, knock. So open the door. And he says, I will come unto you and sup with you, and you will sup with me. It's very simple. Open the door to Christ. Let him into your heart. Well, sounds easier than it is sometimes when your heart goes after covetousness. But if you pray and seek, you may obtain.
People love to make it sound like it's oh so simple. And at the most basic level, it is incredibly simple. Because Christ enters in. There's nothing you have to do or can do to make that reality happen. You open the door. He says he will come in. So what do? You go out, you open yourself up, or you think you do. And then you feel like you get no response. What do then? This happens to people. That's why many ministries, they'll just tell you, well, no, you didn't, nothing happened. Well, you did, something did happen, actually. Just you did not feel it or have any sensation or, but that's okay. That's how it happened to us, too. Nothing happened to us. So we can authoritatively tell you that's how it's supposed to be. And by sensation, I don't merely mean a physical feeling. I mean, as the apostles spoke with tongues and prophesied, nothing has occurred, nothing at all. And having myself gone through this, and on many occasions having what I thought was quite sincerely, and even with tears, asked God to come in, enter into me, send me his Holy Spirit, and to have nothing happen, really nothing happen. I tried to convince myself things had happened at those times because I didn't want to go away empty-handed. But when I finally did receive the Spirit of God, I knew for sure that time because of the magnitude of the encounter. So while other people may want to tell you that it's just, oh yeah, it's just easy, you just do this, do that, and then bingo, you got it. and don't expect to have an experience like the apostles had. That's all over and done with. What I find interesting as well, they'll find lots of things to say against the experience that I had. People will find things to say, ways to be critical. They have their judgments. They think they know what they're talking about. But then I would ask, how do you justify your experience? How does your experience at all square with the scripture? There's no scriptural correlation to their experience, none at all. Hey, you know, I named it and claimed it. Because that's basically what you're doing. You're saying, well, I said I wanted the Holy Spirit, and God said he would send it if I asked. So when I asked, I presume he sent it, because he said he would. And there's a certain logic to that. But from my experience, I know that the moment I ask for something, I don't always get it right that moment. You think about the parable of the widow who went to the unjust judge and kept asking, avenge me of mine adversary. Some things must be pursued. Not because God doesn't intend to give it to us or he's going back on his word, but that's what he has ordained for us. I know that I asked for it many times and I got nothing. And there are some denominations where they would say, no, you did get something. It had no effect on your person. It had no effect on your life. But you really did get something. It's just now you've got it, and then they try to teach you how to pretend like you've got something. You know, they take you into their Bible classes or whatever and try to make you their kind of Christian as a way of sort of substituting their instruction for the Spirit of God, because he shall teach you all things. In their religion, I don't think the Spirit of God is teaching them. They get their education from universities and from their textbooks and from their forefathers, from the traditions of the elders. They don't get them from the Spirit of God. And there is something to the fact that the Spirit is, he puts it into the church, right? There are teachers. I say, I received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God taught me that these guys were liars and that they were misleading people. So I have no respect for them and their fake spirituality. I would rather encourage you that no matter how you feel about it, to continue to pray to seek him for more. We can always use more of his Spirit. And I do not recommend that you ever cease to seek that he might enter in to a greater degree, that he might guide your steps to a greater degree, because that is our goal, is to learn to walk like him. Well, with him guiding us, that is how we obtain that similitude. And it's not about the works you do. It's not about the prayers you make. You can make many prayers and he won't hear.